Lord, we thank you that we can sit here as your church body and open up your word, and that you would speak to us through it. The Bible declares that your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the power to divide soul and spirit, and we pray that you would reach our innermost being, convict us and change us and transform us, that we might be conformed to the image of your Son. Might you be glorified in how we take heed to what your word says. Fill us with your spirit and go before the message this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we found our friend Isaac facing the very same circumstances his father Abraham had faced when he first entered the promised land. Famine. Hard and famished times have fallen upon the promised land, the land where God had called both Abraham and Isaac to dwell by faith. A land where God said that he would bless them, a land which he would give them and establish his descendants as a nation in order that his seed might bless the entire earth. And the Bible describes this land in which Isaac is dwelling as a land flowing with milk and honey, an idiomatic term used to describe the fertility of the land. And in light of that, we asked ourselves the question last week, what are we to do, how are we to live when the fertile landscape of God's provision and blessing upon our lives suddenly finds itself in hard times, in famished times? How are we to thrive in those times when the land of milk and honey turns into the land of famine? And to answer that question, we've been looking at the life of Isaac here in the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis as he commits himself to dwelling by faith in the famished promised land. He kept his eyes upon the Lord and his promises, trusting in him even when the obvious resources of the land were being lapped up by the famine all around him. And we noted that Isaac was able to thrive in the land because he had tapped into the resources God had lying beneath the surface, the resources his father had tapped into as he walked into the land by faith before him. Isaac was dwelling by the wells which Abraham had dug in the land of Gerar. And there was vast wisdom in Isaac's decision to draw upon the source of refreshment of a man who walked faithfully with God before him. Isaac was thriving in the land of famine because he tapped into a resource which others paid little to no attention to. And that is until Isaac began to thrive because he was tapped into those resources, reaping a hundredfold return on all the crops that he had sowed. His flocks and herds were multiplying along with a great number of servants that were growing. And as that happened, the Philistines became envious of him so that they stopped up the wells that he was using, which not only cut off Isaac's lifeline there in the land, putting Isaac between a rock and a hard spot, but it violated the peace covenant which Abraham had established long ago there with Abimelech in the land of Gerar. All of this could have started a huge battle between the Philistines and Isaac, but Isaac, trusting in the word of the Lord, trusting in the gracious provision of his God, graciously packs up and moves along instead of seeking out a fight. And he even serves those who have wronged him by digging out once again the wells his father had dug that his enemies had filled up, providing the Philistines with access to the same means of God's provision which he had in the land, and mending the covenant that they violated. And so far, we've watched Isaac thrive. We've leaned upon and seen the wise decision he made to lean upon the resources of his father Abraham, a great man of faith who walked before him. And that taught us that we should lean in upon the wisdom of those who have walked before us in hard times too. Those who have endured and persevered by faith where God wanted them to go, we can lean in upon that wisdom. And he was not afraid to drop his bucket deep, but to pull out the rich resources that lied beneath the ground, which God had laid before him in the land. And that showed us that we should not be afraid to drop our buckets deep either. We should be willing to dig down deep to enjoy the rich and living waters of God's word, which are laying out before us as we're going through hard times as well. And Isaac also understood that he was an undeserving recipient of God's grace. This enabled him to serve his enemies during this famished time. Isaac was seeking to help them gain access to God's means of blessing, which they had buried with their own sinful actions, and reestablish the covenant which they violated, teaching us the importance of being a blessing to others, serving others in hard times. Just because we face hard times doesn't mean we should quit seeking to be a blessing, quit seeking to serving those that are around us. And there's still more for us to learn from Isaac's life as he thrives here in the famished land. So let's pick up where we left off in Genesis 26, verse 19. The text reads, "Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley, and they found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' So he called the name of the well Esek," which means quarrel, because they quarreled with him. "And then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna," which means enmity. "And he moved from there, and he dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth," which means spaciousness, "because he said, 'For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" As Isaac continues to dwell in the land by faith, he is met with consistent resistance and animosity and struggles along the way. And I'm sure there were times when Isaac was tempted to leave the land, to just flee to Egypt as his father had done in the past. He could just simply dwell by the Nile Delta down there in Egypt, where you could visually see the ample water supply. You wouldn't have to dig down anymore and trust that God would have water there in order for your family to survive. He could just run away. I'm sure he was tempted to do that. It had to be exceedingly wearisome for Isaac to continue to press on to the degree that he did in his walk. Because every time he dug a new well, the Philistines were right there to kick him off the land, to squash out what hope he might have gained when a new well brought forth water. In addition to that, the real estate that he was using was wrongfully taken away from him by the Philistines. That had to sting, because that property became prime real estate as a result of the work that Isaac and his servants poured into that land because of the wells that he had dug in it. Notice that the text says in verse 19 that his servants found a well of running water. Running water equals prime real estate. Running water means that there's a consistent supply of fresh water. It just wasn't water from the water table that was filling up the well. This was a well that was being supplied by a consistent supply of fresh water from a spring. So you'd never have to worry about the water table dropping, the water becoming stagnant, or anything like that. A well of running water was of supreme value in this semi-arid region of the world, especially during a time of famine. In addition, Isaac had every right to use each and every well that he dug there in the land of Gerar. That's what the covenant that his father Abraham made with Abimelech was all about 90 years earlier. When Abraham made that covenant with Abimelech back in chapter 21, after Isaac was weaned and Hagar and Ishmael were kicked out of the land, it was a covenant that secured Abraham's right and his descendants' rights to use the land, to use it peacefully, especially when it came to the water. You remember Abraham even rebuked Abimelech for his servant seizing one of his own wells. And then after that, they formed a covenant of peace, which enabled Abraham and his descendants to freely use the resources of the land. Isaac had every right to use each and every well mentioned here in the text. Isaac was dwelling in the land that God had asked him to by faith. And just when Isaac, when you think Isaac's finally going to catch a break, whammo, he is met with further opposition all the way. He's doing what God wants. He's living the way God wants him to. God is providing and meeting his needs. And then when you think everything's going to be, oh, it can finally settle, another obstacle comes his way. The wells in which he was digging for and laboring for were being wrongfully snatched away out of his life. And they became a source of contention and quarreling so that he would have to move along and trust the Lord to provide somewhere else in another fashion. Isaac was thriving in a famished promised land, but it was met with opposition. It was met with opposition. He wasn't at a place where he was able to just get rest in the midst of the famine. A place where he had room to grow. A place where he could be fruitful there in the promised land. That didn't happen until he got to Rehoboth. It didn't happen until he finally got there. Isaac had to persevere in order to get to that place in his journey. And if you want to thrive in your walk of faith with the Lord, if you want to bear fruit in your life during the seasons of famine, you're going to need perseverance. You're going to need to persevere. You may have hit difficult and famished season in your life right now. And you may be struggling at your job. Your relationship with your loved one might be in a dry and weary spot. And it might just be that you've entered into a famished time. And just to add insult to injury, even the places and resources that you should be able to draw upon, but you're unable to because they're being snatched away from you. And you face further quarreling, further troubles as you go down the road. But don't give up. You need to hang in there and persevere. You're going to be tempted in those times to take your eyes off of the Lord, off of His promise, and to quit walking by faith. But you need to persevere. You need to keep your eyes upon the unseen promises of God instead of looking to the world and the resources that are on the surface in a different area other than where God wants you to be, which lie outside of the position and place that God has called you to. Don't do that. Don't take your eyes off the promises of God. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep marching ahead with the Lord in the land by faith. God is using all of those obstacles to lead you to Rehoboth. A place where you can be fruitful, a place where you can grow in the land, even during famished times with great obstacles and opposition. Perseverance is needed if you and I are ever to thrive the way that God wants us to. Perseverance is needed if we're ever to arrive at Rehoboth. James chapter 5, verses 9 through 11 say this. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Job made it through his extremely difficult and famished season of life because he persevered. And he arrived, once that season was over, at the Lord's compassionate and merciful, well-intended end for him. And the same was true for Isaac and all of the saints who have walked faithfully before us. And the same is true for you and I too. Perseverance is an absolute necessity if we are to thrive in our walk with the Lord. If we are to thrive during the famished seasons of our life. God is working to bring Isaac to a place of deep dependence upon the Lord. Isaac has even pushed on towards Beersheba now. He's heading back to the place where Abraham had formed the covenant with Abimelech so that he might now dwell there by faith. Look at verse 23. It says, then he went up from there, from Rehoboth to Beersheba. And I want you to see the persevering faith that's inside this man. Here's a man who's dwelling in a famished land. A man who has been wronged by the countrymen who should be at peace with him because of the covenant his father had made with Abimelech there at Beersheba. A man who has had things which should be rightfully his taken away from him. And instead of running away from the promises of God and turning his back on what God had accomplished through his father there in the promised land, turning his back on what God's word says, he moves forward by faith. And he heads towards the very place which you think would cause him pain right now. I mean, going to Beersheba would only remind him of the covenant that his father made, which the Philistines are violating with him, which has caused him to have to move along. But he moves there because he knows that God is in that place. You see, Isaac could have become very bitter and angry with the Lord while he was there in Gerar. He could have allowed the famine to turn him away from the promises of God. And he could have allowed the quarrel and the enmity to push him away in his walk. But none of those things moved him from drawing near to the truth of God. The truth of God's word, which was revealed to his father Abraham, and the truth of what God had accomplished in the life of Abraham in the past. Those things steadied Isaac to the point that he could continue to push forward and persevere in his walk with the Lord and dwell at the very spot where he knew God had called him to live and walk, even when it would cause him pain. The truth of the matter is, the famished seasons of a person's life will either make them better or it will make them bitter. You will end up at one of those two destinations. Difficult times will either cause one to stick near Christ by faith, or it will cause them to walk away and become very bitter in their life. Now, if you turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, starting in verse 60, we're going to look at a time that became increasingly hard for the multitude that was following Christ. Hard sayings were coming their ways, things that were difficult to understand in order to follow the Lord and be a true disciple. And some turned and walked away, and others decided to stick it out. John chapter 6, verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was the disciples who persevered and drew near to Christ and his words during the hard seasons of life when things came crushing in around them and they couldn't understand. It was the disciples that embraced the difficult things of God's word and settled in their hearts and minds by faith that they were ultimately going to stick it out with the Lord and walk with him. They were the ones who received comfort from God. And the ones who walked away may have thought that it would have been more comforting at the time to do so, easier at the time to do so, but in the end, they received no comfort from the Lord at all. Isaac is a man of faith who perseveres and draws near to the Lord in the hardest of places. And God not only brings him to Rehoboth, but Isaac draws near to Beersheba, where he is about to receive great comfort from the Lord. Look back to Genesis 26 and verse 24. "And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake.' So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well." God speaks to Isaac in the night as he dwells there in Beersheba. And God reaffirms his covenant with Isaac. God has spoken with him just as he did when the famine first hit the land. God encouraged him at the beginning to stick it out, not to go to Egypt, but to dwell in the land by faith, and that he would be secure in it. And now, after a long and difficult road, the Lord reestablishes his covenant with Isaac, and Isaac worships the Lord and builds an altar there at Beersheba, and he digs a well. And I love that about Isaac. He worships the Lord first, and then he digs a well. Before there was even a source of refreshment in that place, before there was even a visible means of God's provision there in Beersheba, Isaac builds an altar to worship the Lord. Because he knows that no matter his lot in life, the Lord is worthy to be praised, and the Lord will always be faithful to his word, even when it doesn't seem like or feel like it at the time. The Lord will always be faithful and true to his word. Verse 26. "Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Azuzath, one of his friends, and Pichol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, 'Why have you come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you?' But they said, 'We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you.' So we said, 'Let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord.' So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. And they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. How you dwell in the land will make an impact on those around you. Isaac certainly thrived in the famished land. So much so that he sowed and reaped a hundredfold return on his crops. He grew in both power and might, but it was not without its fair share of great difficulty and opposition along the way, and yet Isaac's ability to thrive in the land by faith produced the greatest results in the lives of the Philistines, in the lives of those who were once against him, in the lives of those who opposed him, and now they are the ones turning to him once again in order that they might live in peace. God will help you to thrive in the difficult seasons of your life. And you will need to call upon him in order that you might have patience and perseverance in your life to cling to what you know to be true. People may even mock you along the way. And you may face great opposition from those who should be treating you well. You may even have things wrongfully stripped away from you. But as you continue to walk with the Lord by faith, and as God gives you ability to thrive in the land, eventually you are going to turn the heads of some of those around you, and they will have to conclude that you are blessed of the Lord. You're blessed of the Lord. And that's an opportunity, a unique opportunity for us to seize for the Lord and extend grace to them and introduce them to the God of peace who has blessed us. As we seek to live in peace with them, Isaac gladly reestablished the covenant of peace with the Philistine leaders, and he even throws them a feast. On his own dime, he coughs up and says, "Let's do this thing." And this reminds me of how the Lord is with us. We are the ones who took advantage of all the blessings that God has placed upon the land, and we are the ones who wants nothing to do with the well maker. All we want is the wells and what they can supply to us and what we can gain from that. We are the ones who have trampled upon God's covenant with our own sin. And yet, when one turns to Christ by faith, he is ready to enter into a relationship of peace with them on his own dime with those who were once his enemies. The proof that Isaac's life is thriving in the land is found in the fact that his life of faith is conforming to the image of Christ. It's being conformed to the very nature of God himself. And that is always the proof that someone is thriving in their walk of faith. Fruit that resembles the life of Christ. A person can claim to be a thriving person of faith all they want, but if their life is not being conformed to the image of Christ on a wholesale level, I'm not saying that you and I will be perfect in every way, shape, or form, but our lives should be shaped an overarching way to the image of Christ. We should be being molded into the image of Jesus Christ, the one who has saved us and rescued us from our sins. A thriving faith will place more of the life of Christ in the follower of Christ. A thriving faith places more of the life of Jesus Christ in the follower of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 19, Jesus tells the disciples, Be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Isaac dwells in peace with the people of Gerar, because he knows that he serves a gracious God, a God who is true to his word, a God who has been extremely gracious to him with all of his own faults and sins. The Lord himself is the source of Isaac's refreshment in the land of promise. And the Lord is going to make that very clear to Isaac, that he, and he alone, is the one who has the ability to make him thrive, even when it appears that there's not a way to survive in the land where he's at. Verse 32, it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. Now, pay attention to what's being said here. Isaac did not have any water in the well of Beersheba when Abimelech showed up. And yet, he gave sacrificially to the Philistines anyways. He reestablished the covenant of peace with the leaders of Gerar, and he threw a massive feast for them. But Isaac didn't discover that the wells his servants had dug there in Beersheba contained water until after all of that took place. You see, Isaac's servants had dug up the well in the land where Abraham had dug before and dwelt. And he sought to live there by faith. He knew that there had been water there in the past because his father had dug a well there in the past and lived there. But now in the season of famine, the well was dry. And the servants had dug down to where their water table should be, but there was still no water in the well. Yet Isaac remained unmoved in his commitment to dwell there by faith. And as he graciously reestablishes this covenant of peace with Abimelech, Isaac could have been tempted when these guys showed up to tell Abimelech, "You need to hit the road. Get out of here. Everywhere I go, you guys chased me out of the place. Not only that, but you violated the peace covenant my father made with you guys, and the well is dry. And that's proof enough for me to live at odds with you. And I'm seizing back all the wells that I dug in your land." But he didn't do that. He gave them grace. Even when it appeared that no good was coming his way, when there was no refreshment in the land for him to enjoy, yet God clearly and unquestionably brings refreshment to this man's life. Isaac's servants come with excitement to tell him, "We have found water." God was making it clear to Isaac that he and he alone has the ability to make one thrive in the land of famine. "Just trust me, live for me, and I'll add all the rest unto you. I'll take care of it all." Isn't that what Jesus asked us to do? We're not to worry about what we're going to eat or drink or what we're going to wear, but we're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, Jesus says, He'll add unto us. He can bring refreshment even when it seems that your well has run dry. Isaac renames the place Beersheba, just as his father had named the place in the past, bringing glory to the God who established his father in the land and is now establishing him in the land too. Verse 34. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elion the Hittite, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. Now Isaac is thriving in the land, even while dealing with family grief. He's dealing with family turmoil. Not only did Isaac face pressures coming from outside of the home, a huge famine which could have caused financial ruin, struggles and quarrels with the Philistines in the land, but he also faced inside family pressures too. His son was out playing the fool and was a continual grief to him and his wife. Pressures coming from outside the home are hard enough, but when they're coming from inside the home, that is when the going gets tough, right? That is when the going gets tough. When there's peace in the home, the outside pressures are much easier to deal with because you can all come together as one. You can seek the Lord together as one and form sort of a shield that way. But when it's coming from the inside, it rips you up. And that's when you're going to need the strength to move forward with perseverance by faith. Isaac was able to do just that there in the land of famine, and he was able to thrive. Isaac thrived in the land of famine by faith because he was confident in the Word of God. He was confident in what God said over and above what he could see on the landscape all around him. He was able to thrive because he leaned upon the wisdom of his father who had walked before him. He was able to thrive because he was willing to dig deep when necessary to receive refreshment from the Lord, trusting God to provide for him and sustain him during that weary time. He was able to thrive because he lived sacrificially and graciously towards those who mistreated him, knowing that he himself was an undeserving recipient of God's covenantal grace. And he had a tenacity to persevere in God's truth even when battle after battle came his way, coming from both outside and inside the family and the home. And that is what is necessary in order for us to thrive in the land of famine. That's what it's going to take. And I'll tell you what, we need all the help we can get to do that. So let's bow our heads before the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us become a people that can thrive to His glory in our walks with Him, even when our lives fall upon hard and famished times. That we might be conformed to the very image of His Son so that He could get the glory and others could come to call upon His name and praise Him too. Father, we thank You for Your Word and the examples that You have given us in the lives of the patriarchs. God, there are times when we learn what not to do from their life, and yet, Lord, these men, time and time again, demonstrate that they had a very real and tangible faith, a deep love and reverence for You and for Your Word, and they were able to tenaciously cling to You and what Your Word said, even in the hard times of life, and You made their lives fruitful when it shouldn't have been fruitful. Lord, would You give us the strength to cling to You, to look to Your unseen promises instead of what's going on all around us. God, would You give us the strength to lean in upon the wisdom of those who have walked before us and help us to dig deep into Your Word, especially during the hard times. Lord, may we not just give a superficial grazing of Your Word during those times of our life, but help us to dig down. We know that You will provide refreshment even when we dig down and the well is dry for a time. Lord, refreshment will come. You will bring it, and we thank You for that. Might You sustain us in every way and conform us to the image of Your Son so that others could call upon your name too, and that you would receive great glory and honor from our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.